If you like Rogan and Rodney, be sure to check out Petros and Money. Hear them live weekdays at 3 on AM 570 LA Sports or podcast their show on the iHeartRadio app by searching Petros and Money.
AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app.
AM 570.
An LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
And we continue. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports. All right, Rodney. Well, hour one, we kicked around the Dodgers. Or we didn't kick the Dodgers. That's not an accurate statement.
Well, kind of is. The way they've been kicked around, Fred. Kind of apropos.
Now, we chopped it up about the Dodgers with Ned Coletti. If you missed that, Ned is always so good. And he had a message for Dodger fans. Just try to relax. You know, it's a long season. But if you missed it, by all means, check out the podcast. We're on the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. We're live every day, yep. Wherever you are. You can take us with you, and the show.
What does Ned always say? Ned always says it's not a baseball month.
It's a baseball season.
Not a baseball week. It's a baseball season.
Right.
Right.
Baseball's a novel, so the early chapter doesn't look very good, but there's a lot of chapters to go. A lot of damage and drama in the early chapter. That's okay. You know what?
Yeah, it's okay.
The hero always wins. So you can check Ned out on the podcast. Just download the iHeartRadio app. Hour two, Adam Austin was on the Saltier. I think we did a pretty good job of breaking down the Lakers, where they're at right now. Talked about the Clippers as well and their matchup tonight at Staples. Again, feel free. Check out the podcast and you can hear Adam. Now the spirituality. Now we come together. Now we bond. Now we unite. Now we become one. And for that, there is only one man we can welcome on. Vic the Brick. With a daily haiku at 2, which today will be at 2:04. And Vic,
you can't help it.
I did it on purpose.
It's your birthday. It's your birthday, so I'm not even going to say anything about it.
I just did it to see the look in your eye. That's exactly why I did that.
Is that why you were staring at me while you were saying it?
Yeah. I just wanted to see what you'd do. All right, here's Vic. Vic, good afternoon.
Happy birthday, Fred.
Thank you, Vic. Vic, a little bit of a long marination period today, no?
He almost did it too, Vic. On his birthday, he almost did it.
I know. I was testing him.
I bit my tongue, Vic.
There was a pop quiz.
Mm-hmm.
I passed.
Pop haiku quiz for you.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, Rodney Peet.
VTP.
He's the executive producer. The Rogan and Rodney Show. Put your hands together. It's Kevin Figgers. And then the ones and the twos and the threes and the fours. You know them. You love them. It's Rodney Fazio.
I'm feeling you, Vic the Brick.
Yeah. I'm feeling you. Albert Pujols is no longer an angel.
No.
10 years, an angel. Artie Moreno loved him. Organization loved him. The city loved him. But apparently when you're hitting less than 200, they have two guys playing first base already, but they feel better than Albert. You got to let him go. I would have just let him play on. Let him continue to set records every day. What's the difference? The Angels are going nowhere.
Open up a roster spot.
Exactly. Let him keep hitting. So what if he's below 200? It's meaningless. The great Mays was below 200.
No, Vic, Vic, Vic.
Say, no. Hey, kid, a happy birthday. Love Mays. Love you, Willie. Love you, but, Willie.
Then can we go back to Pujols? I think the Angels want to open up a roster spot to bring somebody up to start getting them experience.
What, experience in losing?
Well, big, no.
Whoa.
No, experience in playing in the majors.
Are you saying they got no hope already, Vic? It's May.
Yeah, but the pitching staff is in tatters. They got some nice players, there's no doubt. You know how much I love Ohtani-san.
Yes.
Trouty's unbelievable.
Yes.
Then they got the Iglesias, they got the Rojas. Yeah, but the pitching staff is a joke.
Well, they have to improve their pitching staff.
Listen, I'm talking about the Angels a joke. The Dodgers have lost 13 of 17. All Dodger fans, please join me in seven deep breaths.
Oh, yeah.
That didn't work yesterday.
I didn't know Mitchell White was going to come on for the win.
Vic, the seven deep breaths, you sound like you're on a ventilator.
These are deep, deep breaths.
Real deep, huh, Vic?
Everyone just calm down. We played 32 games. We got 130 games left. I am not concerned. It's indeed a funk, and this funk too will pass. And I have this haiku for the Dodgers.
No good.
Ooh.
And I really pulled out all the stops. I went to the heavyweight of heavyweights. Went to Basho.
Oh,
with the ultimate El Clasico.
Oh, when we need him.
When we need it, even on the off day, when the fellas are just getting empty, I want the Dodgers to get empty on this. This beautiful classic haiku from the master himself, El Titan of the industry, Basho. This haiku for you on this Thursday, May the 6th. You've heard it before and you love it. Old pond. Yeah, a frog jumps in. The sound of water. Plop. And situational headache. I'm feeling you.
Yeah, Vic. Look.
Yes, happy birthday,
yes.
Willie.
Yes.
Vic, we've had that one before, and I remember the plop. I do. And I thought, okay, I got this one down.
It's a classic.
And, yeah, but then when you throw in and situational hitting, Vic.
No. Dodgers don't need a little burst of energy.
No, weren't there two?
With a situational hitting?
In the original one, weren't there two plops?
No, there's always one plop.
There was one plop?
A frog jumps in. The sound of water. Plop.
And situational hitting.
I feel like you.
For the moment. Yes, he understands the moment.
Well, Vic, tomorrow, the Dodgers.
Situational hitting was in the thought process.
I know. So that was a little embellishment. Vic, tomorrow the Dodgers play the Angels, right? You just said the Angels are garbage.
Yes. Well, listen, they'll play tough against the Dodgers, but you look at the Angels throughout the season. I follow the Angels very closely. You know, we love Madden. I know Kevin has a lot of love for the Angel Ball Club. But it's so frustrating with their pitching staff is just so erratic and shaky. But you know what? They always play the Dodgers tough. It's going to be a hell of a three-game series. It's going to be a sensational series.
Well, that might be a bit extreme. I mean, if the Dodgers were playing the way they were supposed to be playing, it wouldn't be a series at all. I guess
it's all matchups, Fred. Everything's a matchup. We didn't match up well with the Cubs.
Well, we haven't matched up well with anybody in the last couple of weeks, Vic. Not just the Cubs. When you're not hitting, you're not matching up with anybody.
Exactly right.
Yes.
The matchups.
The Angels,
their matchups are fucking strong.
Play the Dodgers. They get excited. They get fired up.
They get pumped.
It's a postseason game for them, and they play the Dodgers.
Okay, if the Dodgers remember to take their bats to the stadium, then we'll see what happens. I mean, it's like they don't even have any bats. They're not hitting. If they hit, it'll be a different story.
Maybe they need to bring a live chicken in and do some rituals like they did in, what was the movie, Major League. Serrano did that.
Yeah.
You know, brought the chicken and had some rituals going and some smokes and some
what they do
all kinds of stuff going on.
What they do in Atlanta this year? Dansby Swanson, what did he say? They took sage out there?
Sagebrush, yeah. Like Phil Jackson used to do in the Laker locker room.
No, that was weed.
Huh?
Guys were just getting contact highs. Come on, Vic.
Oh no, that was Phil.
Sage, Fred. He did both. Okay, it was both.
Yeah,
but it was definitely did sage to eliminate the bad karma.
Absolutely, it worked.
And then he smoked weed to forget that he had bad karma.
Well, they went back to back burning sage.
You can ask, argue
ask
with that.
Big Shaq. Ask Big Shaq.
It's lit. Stories lighting up the sports headlines.
I had it. All right, brought to you by our buddy Jacob Imrani, proud partner of LAFC.
Accident or injury, call Jacob Imrani, call Jacob.
So LeBron James listed as day-to-day, as we discussed earlier with Adam Ausland last hour, and Shams Charania of Stadium and The Athletic says LeBron right now looks like he won't return until Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, which means he will miss the next three games, including tonight's game against the Clippers, which you can hear right here on AM 570 LA Sports. He will return to possibly play against the Knicks on Tuesday or the Rockets on Wednesday. And if he returned on Tuesday against New York, that means the Lakers would have four regular season games to get their stuff together with LeBron in the lineup before the postseason would begin.
Well, remember, Adam Austin was on during the 1 o'clock hour, and, you know, he just hypothesized that if they could beat tonight, you might see LeBron in Portland tomorrow. Frank Vogel was asked about it and initially said he'd be out two games. Then said, well, we're not sure. Now he's day-to-day. So I'm wondering, is this really going to come down to how critical is the game? You know, if they win tonight, he sits tomorrow. If they lose tonight, he plays tomorrow. I really think he rushed back, Rodney. I think he looked at the standings and said, I got to get back. And try.
Yeah, I buy that. The way he is competitive and, you know, looking at, you know, as his team not playing well without him. I could see him trying to get back as sooner rather than later. At this point, though, I wonder if, are the Lakers looking at this as, we got to win these games because we don't want to be that seventh seed to have to do with the play-in scenario. We got to do whatever we can to be the sixth seed at least. Or are they looking at this, we just want a healthy LeBron. We know it's going to be a tough road no matter what we do. We just want to get LeBron healthy. And if we have to do the play-in game, we do the play-in tournament. But we got to have him healthy. So we're not going to play him, even if they lose tonight against the Clippers, play him against Portland, play him against Phoenix. We're going to sit him till he's totally ready. Let him play against the Knicks. Let him play against Houston and get ready for those last four games because it's going to be tough anyway. So it doesn't matter if we're in the play-in or the sixth seed. I think the latter. I think they just like, it is going to be what it is. Let's get LeBron healthy so we can just go into postseason playing at our best.
Exactly, Rodney. I believe LeBron is too fixated on that play-in game. He hates the play-in game.
Yeah.
He wants the guy who came up with the idea and the NBA office to be fired. I mean, that's not LeBron. LeBron embraces competition. I think LeBron is a little off here. He just has to heal that ankle. Obviously came back too soon. He was testing it. He was pushing it. And that ankle did not respond well. And if I'm a Laker fan, I just want a healthy LeBron. We all do. Basketball fans. They don't want to see the Lakers slip into that playing position, but so be it. If that's what happens, play your ball. You know, get Shrew back. You know, how about Anthony Davis saying, we win the national championship this year, I'm going to put a streak in my hair just like Schroeder. I love that. You go, Anthony Davis. Get that blonde streak going like Shrew.
Dye is unibrow blonde. Not only is it Fred's birthday today, among many others, but Fred. It's the anniversary of a very iconic, I think Fred would say this would probably lives in the annals of time.
Oh, perfect.
When it comes to sports broadcasting, possibly. So in 2007, the Yankees were having some issues with their pitching staff. So they needed to call in some help, some reinforcements. And things were so bad, they had to go and grab someone who was actually retired, someone from the past. So George Steinbrenner, who was alive at the time, invites up the Rocket, Roger Clemens, into his suite. And Roger announces to the masses at Yankee Stadium, they came down to Texas, they drug me out of retirement, and now I'm coming back. And listen to WFAN Radio and Yankees broadcaster Suzanne Waltman and her reaction to the signing of Roger Clemens.
Roger Clemens is in George's box, and Roger Clemens is coming back. Oh, my goodness gracious. Of all the dramatic things, I've ever seen, Roger Clemens standing right in George Steinbrenner's box announcing he is back. Roger Clemens is a New York Yankee.
Goodness gracious, Fred.
Oh my God! Goodness gracious!
Was she paid by the team?
Yes, she was the team broadcaster.
Oh, all right.
She might still be with Michael Kay. I'm not sure. Michael Kay is doing TV now. She might still be on the radio broadcast.
Of everything she's seen in her life.
Of all the dramatic things I've seen.
Dramatic.
Yes.
Not the Reggie Jackson walk, you know, three home runs.
Nope.
No.
Not the Jeter, you know, great play on Giambi in the playoffs.
No.
Backhanding it. No.
Mm-mm. That's nothing. That's nothing. I'll tell you what is dramatic. I can see Roger Clemens in George Steinbrenner's box, and he is announcing he's coming back. This is drama. Boy. This is drama.
You gotta admit, though, Fred, she sold it, didn't she? She sold it like a New Yorker can sell it. Kevin, there's no mistaking where she was from.
Roger Clemens is in George's box, and Roger Clemens is coming back. Oh, my goodness gracious. Of all the dramatic things I've ever seen, Roger Clemens standing right in George Steinbrenner's box.
I like in the middle, like somebody was pulling her microphone or something.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Exactly.
Of all the dramatic.
Yes.
Right. And when you hear it again, of the dramatic things I've seen, Roger Clemens is standing in George Steinbrenner's box. That is drama.
Well, put Susan on the map, but obviously she has to get out more, if that is the most dramatic thing she's ever seen. Get out of the Bronx, Susan, sometimes. Take that train, get down to Midtown.
So if we're going to keep it in the AL East, John Means, who's been pretty mediocre early on in his career, but has been amazing so far this season for Baltimore, and actually tossed the first non-perfect game yesterday for Baltimore. It was non-perfect because he did get all 27 batters out, but he allowed a base runner because his third strike was a wild pitch and a base runner did reach base. So people have been debating back and forth whether or not he should be credited with an actual perfect game, even though we got the strikeout, but the base runner was allowed to actually reach the base. So technically it does not go down as a perfect game because a man did reach base, Fred.
I saw the last couple of innings of that game yesterday. Mm-hmm. I didn't see the wild pitch.
Yeah.
But it was a wild, but so it was strike three.
Correct.
But the runner reached base.
Yes.
Well, the problem, first, yeah, what I wanted to be, because it was great watching it, by the way. It was really cool. And it's fun. I mean, you're rooting for anybody that can throw a perfect game. They were in Seattle. The fans in Seattle stood, gave him a standing ovation. I mean, it was great. Last guy up looked like hit a shot, but it was a little liner that the shortstop caught to end the game. Here's the thing. You want it to be a perfect game, but in a perfect game, correct me if I'm wrong, no one can reach base.
Correct.
Yep.
A runner correct. Got to first base.
Yep.
How can it be a perfect game? Somebody, aside from it's a strikeout and a wild pitch, the guy got on first base. A perfect game, no one can reach base. One runner did. So he got a no-hitter. But no perfect game, Rodney.
Yeah, it's a shame. And I wonder, because it was a wild pitch, you can't give it to him. But if it was a pass ball, a strikeout, and a pass ball, there might be some debate on whether or not to give him the perfect game.
Well, Fred. Because a passed ball is
on the catcher
is an error, right?
I believe so. Yes, a passed ball on the catcher will be an error on the catcher. Yeah.
Okay. But, all right, let's say there was a shot to third. The third baseman picked it up and threw it over the first baseman's head. One runner got on. That's an error.
Yeah, but it wasn't. But that wouldn't be a strikeout. It was winning the books as a strikeout. And instead of a strikeout with a wild pitch to it, it's a strikeout with a pass ball. So it's not on the pitcher. It would be on the catcher as the pass ball.
But if
the runner got on.
But if somebody gets on an error, period, is it a perfect game?
No.
No. So
it's not. I know I'm reaching.
No, I'm not saying you're reaching. I'm just trying to process.
No, it's not to be deemed a perfect game. It's not.
Okay. So, well, then it sucks. He didn't get it, but that's the way it is.
You got to go 27 up, 27
was
down.
Was the pitch wild?
I didn't see that.
Did you see it, Kevin?
It was, yeah. There was no question. This was not like a borderline, well, it could have been on the catcher. I was like, no, it was a pretty...
So the catcher had no chance,
no.
Basically.
No, you would have put this on the catcher.
The bigger question is, what in God's name is a hitter swinging at? If the pitch was that wild, the guy swings and strikes out.
No.
He had his stuff, Fred. Why do you think he got 27 outs?
No, I'm aware of that. But
his stuff was working.
Apparently. Or
yes.
The guy just closed his eyes and swung.
They all did.
His stuff
Nobody
was working.
Hit.
His stuff was working.
Fred, it's a home run or a strikeout now. This is the way of baseball. I've seen players miss by 10 feet of baseball because they've guessed wrong. Everyone's guessing on the pitch. But the Baltimore Orioles, they're a fun team. They got this guy Mancini, who I love. He came back from cancer this year. And he's producing Mancini. What a fantastic story. It really drew me into the Baltimore Orioles circle of love this year. I'm a bird fan. I like the birds.
Okay.
We're talking about LeBron James and when he'll make it back into the lineup for the Lakers. The Nets have been dealing with their issues with James Harden. He's been out since April 20th with that hamstring injury that he re-aggravated. Says he plans on being back before the end of the regular season for sure. But I find it interesting, BetOnline.ag still has the Nets and the Lakers as the favorites to make it to the NBA Finals despite all of the issues they have had. Probably more chemistry issues with the Nets when it comes to James Harden, health and chemistry with the Lakers. Are you surprised, Fred, that the Nets and Lakers are still the front runners and favorites to win the championship at some sports books?
No, I'm not. And here's why. Because right now, until we get to the end of the season, they should be. You know, we know in Los Angeles, this is a long shot now. We're aware of the fact that LeBron is going to be struggling and AD has struggled as well. Everybody's assuming that if these guys are ready to go, they're ready to go. And if they're ready to go, then they should be considered the favorites. The Nets have three guys that can play. At this point, you go, all right, if they're all healthy and they can all play, they're going to be pretty good. They could win the East. They should win the East. So it doesn't surprise me, at least at this point. Now, you know, we have the right to reverse things in a couple of weeks.
Of course you do. It doesn't surprise me that the Nets are there because they've been pretty good when only just one of the guys have been there. And they've not played a whole lot of games with all three of them. But when one of, whether it's just been Kyrie or it's just been Harden or Durant, they've still been pretty good, and then you throw two of them in the mix and they are very tough to beat. So it doesn't shock me that the Nets would be the favorite. It does surprise me a little bit about the Lakers because they haven't been consistent, and we all knew that we're waiting for AD and LeBron to come back, but AD came back. He had a pretty good game against the Nuggets, but it hasn't been to his former self, and LeBron got hurt again. So at this point in time today, right now, yeah, it surprises me that they still have the Lakers as the favorite.
Experience is divine. The Lakers still understand the way of winning. Brooklyn does not know how to win. Durant knows how to win. Harden does not know how to win. He's a choke artist. That's been his history. I don't see the Nets progressing.
Kyrie, what about Kyrie? Does Kyrie know how to win?
I don't like the way they've been playing basketball.
Does Kyrie Irving know how to win?
Kyrie has his moments. They're a good team, there's no doubt, but I don't see Brooklyn being crowned champion this year. I see them maybe get by Philadelphia in the East, maybe. But no, if it's a Jersey, rather, Brooklyn Lakers or Brooklyn Clippers, or Brooklyn's going down. And you know how much I love Brooklyn. It's my borough. I was born in freaking Brooklyn.
Yes.
And that is what's lighting up the headlines.
Kevin's been great.
All right. More on Albert Pujols coming up.
Bringing you LA's best sports talk weekdays, noon to 3.
Hogan and Rodney.
Birthday. It's your birthday. If I die, bury me in St. Louis. They ask me what I do and who I do it for. Yeah. And how I come up with this up in the studio. Yeah.
Yes.
All I want for my birthday is a big booty girl.
Ha ha, Freddie. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday. All day, Freddie. All day is your birthday.
Oh, well, you did a really good job of not saying it here, buddy. All right, Rodney. We look forward to what? Yeah, it's my birthday. You know my motto now, new day, new pain.
Yeah.
How you doing? Let's bring out our buddy Nick Hamilton from Nightcast Media. Look forward to doing it every week. Nick, how are you today?
Hey, friend. Happy birthday, man. We got to get Fred some 10 so he can really have some fun.
Yes. Yes.
I'm good, Nick. By the way, Nick and Kevin did Going Rogan last night. So we didn't know about Albert Pujols last night when we taped the show. I know that you have covered Albert Pujols for many years. Are you surprised by what the Angels decided today?
Oh, absolutely. I think Albert Pujols may have been surprised at what the Angels did. How disrespectful can you be for a guy that's given a lot to that organization, especially when you allowed him to have the contract that he had, and you know he was actually still in somewhat playing shape. Now, he wasn't the best of the best or in his prime, but he still contributed to that organization. And the way they went about doing that, in my estimation, was completely utterly disrespectful. I don't think the Los Angeles Lakers at the time when Kobe Bryant was on his last year, because they felt like Kobe wasn't producing the way that he normally would produce at times, just cut him and let him go. I don't think that there's another team out there that would allow a superstar of that caliber to walk away. So if I'm Mike Trout, I may be thinking, hey, will the Angels do this to me at some point in my career? If they don't think I'm valuable, they'll just give me away for a pack of Doritos and a Coca-Cola. I mean, come on, it's ridiculous.
Hey, Nick, so do you believe that it is, and because I agree with you, I think there's a better way to make that happen. A guy like that is on the all-time list, to just say, oh, we released Albert Pujols. I mean, don't you have a conversation with him, say, hey, this is going to be your last year with us. How do you want to go out? How do you want to ride this whole thing out? Or is it that Pujols is saying, I'm not ready to quit playing, so if you think this is going to be my last year, then cut me because I can go someplace and still play. Which one do you think it is?
I think it may be a mixture of both, Rodney, but at the same time, if you're an organization and you know the future first ballot Hall of Famer that you have, this is a guy that you treat with some type of dignity and respect and say, okay, Albert, let's just talk about your future at the end of this season. Right now, let's focus on this season. Let's focus on getting in the playoffs. Let's see, making sure you stay healthy and you contributed to the team in some way, shape, or form, and let him go out on his terms. That man has earned the right to go out on his terms, the way he needs to be. Even if Albert said, well, you know what, you can just release me. If I'm the Angels, I said, no, I'm going to hold on to you because of what you mean to this organization and the message that I'm sending to future players that may want to come to this organization as far as saying, hey, we take care of players, especially guys of this caliber, to the very end, much like we see the LA Lakers do, much like we see sometimes even the Dodgers did with a couple of their players. So the thing about it is, I think this is just absurd. I think it's completely disrespectful. And I'm not surprised at the way the Angels do things because of the ownership that they happen to have.
Well, but Nick, they're paying him $30 million this year. It's not like they're taking his money away from him. And to be fair, there's some train of thought, don't know if it's real or not, that he may end up in Chicago with Tony La Russa. who managed him in St. Louis, and just kind of go there and ride it out. Why they did it, we don't know why they did it. He's not hitting 200. We don't know why they did it. But it seems to me they want to bring somebody up to give him some experience. You know, they got to move toward the future. And they were not going to bring him back. Pujols himself said, I don't know if I'm going to retire after this season. Well, he was going to be retired from the Angels. That we know. They were not going
to
bring him
back.
But
to Nick's point, why not wait to the end of the season to do that? I mean, are they looking to make a real serious run at the pennant this year? That's why they got to bring some guys up? I mean, why do it right now and not wait to let him kind of throughout the year say, yes, this is going to be my last year. And as he tours the last ballparks that he'll play in, do something that way as opposed to just cutting him.
Kevin, who's the first baseman for the Angels? Jordan Walsh? Is that the kid's name? Kevin?
Yeah, that's his name, Fred.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Kevin's not hearing me, so he didn't know. Yeah, so they have Jordan Walsh, and he can play. I mean, he's going to be very good. I don't know who else they have that they can put in, but, I mean, obviously they want to give Walsh as many at-bats as possible. Maybe bring somebody up as a DH and let him hit and get used to major league pitching. I get what you both are saying. Absolutely right. You know, I get it. A guy that's going to be in the Hall of Fame that has meant so much to baseball, why would you, in his final year here, you know, cut him early? But, you know, they've got to worry about the future. The Angels have to worry about the Angels too, Nick. And, look, they need pitching. They've got to improve. Artie Moreno, and you said, you know, the owner in Anaheim. I got to tell you one thing about Artie Moreno. Like him or not, that guy has spent money. Some of it, as Rodney would say, was bad money. But he spent money. He spent a lot of money on guys, just given the way they built that team. It's just really unfortunate. If he wants to continue, if Pujols wants to continue, you know, maybe he does hook up with Tony La Russa in Chicago and finish it out that way. Maybe he does. Or maybe he just says, you know, I'm good. He's making $30 million this year, and he's getting all of his money.
Yeah, he is, Fred, but I think it's just the way that they went about doing it. I don't think it's so much. I mean, like you said, you made a good point. $30 million he's still going to be able to keep, and he could move on to Tony.
Yeah, but
I'm going to
stop you right there. I'm going to stop you right there because Albert has made so much money throughout his career. $30 million, yes, he's getting paid his money, but at this point, it is more. Money is down on the list as in terms of how you want to go out, legacy. All those things are above. Oh, I shouldn't be mad or upset. I'm making $30 million. I'm getting my check. No, that's not the mentality. And at the end of the day, that's not the reason why guys play. It's great. Great way to make a living. Don't get me wrong. But that is not the number one motivating factor. And in this situation, I guarantee you, he was like, I don't know how he's feeling. But the money part of it, I'm getting paid, is not on his mind as much as, they let me go if he's pissed off about it or where I'm going to play. I still got some game left. All those things are in his mind more so than I'm getting my $30 million check.
No, that's true, Rodney. I mean, money is valued at a certain level, but I agree with you. I think it's just, like I said earlier, it's the way that they did this, how they did it, and not allowing that man to at least have a choice. If he did have a choice, we don't know. But if he didn't have a choice to at least finish out the season, that's where I'm like, okay, you know what? This is not the way you treat a future first ballot Hall of Famer like Albert Pujols, who's contributed so much to the game.
Lakers and Clippers tonight, Nick. Obviously, it's a critical game for the Lakers. They don't want to fall into that seventh play-in spot. And they've got Portland coming up tomorrow. What about the Clippers, though?
You know what? It's an equally as important game for the Los Angeles Clippers because now they're trying to make sure they stay in the top three seed. And they want to make sure that they're looking to try to move up. I don't know if they will. I mean, when Paul George spoke about this the other night, as far as the team just focusing on the last few games and trying to possibly move up or at least just fine tune a few things as far as the defensive presence, as far as rotations and things like that. So this is going to be a big game for the Clippers as well. If they're going to have any type of shot of staying within the top three and continuing their winning ways as they move into the postseason.
Hey, Nick, we know about the Lakers and, you know, their lack of momentum going into the playoffs and the uncertainty of LeBron going into the playoffs and guys not playing together, Schroeder's out until the end of the year. But they won it last year. In terms of the Clippers, you know, that was the big thing. They had no chemistry. That's what came out of the camp, and Doc Rivers was let go because of it and all those things. I am still I guess I don't know which Clipper team we're going to get, what's going to happen, how they feel about it. I mean, it's kind of an enigma to me, and it seems to me it's more important for them to have some consistency going into the playoffs because of the questions last year as it is for the Lakers.
Well, this is also a big year, Rodney, because as I said one time before, this is the crucial year for Kawhi Leonard. If they don't get at least to the NBA Finals, if they don't even make it past the second round, and they can't even get to the conference finals or the NBA Finals, this Kawhi Leonard experiment was a failure, and they cannot live with that on their hands. So what they have to try to do, number one, get healthy. We're waiting on Serge Ibaka. Obviously, they've been dealing with injuries from Kawhi and PG and even Pat Beverly, who recently returned the other night. So they got to keep guys healthy in the rotation, and then they got to be able to utilize those guys in the playoffs when they go to their playoff rotation, and hopefully they can get playoff Rondo, as we were accustomed to seeing in times before, to be able to give them that spark they need to get over the hump. Because I'm going to tell you, in the long scheme of things, Rodney and Fred, if this Clippers team does not make the NBA Finals, you may be seeing Kawhi Leonard sipping a Mai Tai on the other side of the country in somebody else's beach.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you, Nick, because Kawhi can go after this year. Do you think they have to get there, or do you think he would come back no matter what?
I think, Fred, they have to get there, because what incentive do you have to stay if you're Kawhi Leonard? I mean, you couldn't get over the hump. You couldn't transform this franchise past a certain level. So what else is there to prove? I mean, you can't get to the mountaintop. So you might as well go out to what you think are greener pastures and see where you plug in and fit in and be able to help another franchise. And maybe if he goes back east, maybe he can return to the NBA Finals and capture another title. But with the LA Clippers, it's crucial for them. They have to at least get to the NBA Finals. Even if they lose in the NBA Finals in 6 or 7 games, they can always go back to Kawhi and say, well, look, Kawhi, we may be a piece away, but we do need you. You're an intricate piece, a part of this franchise. We can get you. We just need another piece or two to get over the hump. We can all run it back. And maybe Kawhi says, okay, I'm on board with that. Let's run it back. But you can't get there if you don't get to that point.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe is there a chance that he has found his place in being here in L.A., close to home, all those things with the franchise and the owner that's willing to spend some money, that even if they don't get there, he may feel like the grass is still greener here as opposed to going somewhere else to chase it, because I am home, I got everything I want, and I've got opportunity with the owner to kind of continue to bring in the pieces.
Yeah, I think I agree, Rodney. I think you have to get to that point. They can't even make a serious pitch without getting to that point if you're the LA Clippers. And they have some incredible basketball minds in that front office. I mean, we've seen what they've been able to do in the last couple of years, especially with the great ownership of what they have. So I think the Clippers have got to be on a mission to get to the NBA Finals. That has got to be their destination. I know a lot of players on that team, that is their desire, that is their goal, and that's exactly what they've been working all season long for, to get to that point where they can actually compete for the Larry O.B. trophy.
And you said it was a big game for the Clippers. We know it's a huge game for the Lakers. As the Lakers sit right now, if LeBron comes back and is 80%, and AD is playing as he is right now, Nick, do you see the Lakers reaching the finals?
You know what, Fred? I don't know. And the reason why I say I don't know, because you don't know what Laker team is going to show up. And I say that because being able to play with other guys, it'd be different if it was just AD and LeBron and they were trying to figure out how to play with each other and with the rest of the guys. But then you have Andre Drummond, you have Ben McLemore, you have a lot of other pieces that have been moving parts. And then you have to also make sure you get back Dennis Schroeder, and hopefully he doesn't have any more complications from the health and safety protocol that he's under. So there are a lot of moving factors and a lot of pieces that have to come together and pretty much – be able to play as on one accord. And if they can't do that against a team that's hungrier in the top three or top four seed in the West, they may find themselves in a very difficult predicament. Maybe not so much in the first round if they can get through this, if they happen to fall through the playoff playing games, but it may be the second round or possibly if they do make it to the conference finals, it's not going to be an easy road. So to answer your question, Fred, I really don't know. I'm not too sure about this team. I'm more confident about last year's team than I am about this year's team.
Yeah, and The one thing, though, about the Lakers, and we've found this out over the years, is that it's hard. Even in this scenario, it's just hard to bet against LeBron and what he is capable of pulling out of his hat at any point in his career. So, you know, if he's on the court, you got to give him a chance. And that's, I think that is it's a huge factor that can't be overlooked.
No, I mean, you can't. It's hard to bet against LeBron, much like it's hard to bet against Tom Brady. I mean, as long as their legs work, their arms work, there's a shot. So I'm not going to sit up here and act like there's not a shot. I haven't been drinking yet. So I'm very sober-minded. So what I'm saying is that, yeah, you're right, Rodney. There is a shot, but I'm saying how good is that shot? That is the question. Because, again, when we look at this team and you look at the dynamic of this team, there's talent loaded to the gills. But can they come together as a cohesive unit and really be able to play basketball the way that we've been accustomed to seeing them play ball, minus these injuries? And I think these injuries have taken such a toll on this team, they may not truly be able to rebound from it as they try to move deeper in the playoffs. And that's what concerns me.
All right, Nick. Thank you for coming on. Good stuff today, as always. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Fred. Happy birthday. Enjoy your birthday. I'm going to have a glass of wine on your behalf.
Absolutely, yes. Do it. Okay, there goes our buddy Nick Hamilton. All right, this is a big day on the show. Big day. You know, we gave away Clipper tickets.
Yeah, it's your birthday.
Well, that, yeah. But we gave away Clipper tickets. We're giving away something else as well. How about that?
Oh, boy. Really?
So here's the deal.
What is going on, Fred? We're giving away more stuff?
I know. It's unusual for us. But somebody, we're doing it.
Somebody taking notice of us?
Or pity on us. Anyway, this is for Mother's Day. We're going to bust the break.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Lisa Fox here. When not getting benched or thrown out of a game, they're on the radio with you. You're listening to Rogan and Rodney on AM 570 LA Sports.
When I get older, losing my head.
Many years from now, and it continues. We could not end this show without a little Beatles love for your birthday, Fred.
Appreciate it. Byron in Azusa, are you there?
Yes, I am right here.
All right, my man. Congratulations. You've done it. You won a Burke Williams gift card. This Mother's Day, say thank you for all that she does with the ultimate relaxing experience. A spa day at Burke Williams. Exclusive Mother's Day package that comes with a 3-day spa pass and gift cards never expire. Visit BurkeWilliams.com/Mother's Day for the perfect gift of gratitude. Who are you going to give that to, Byron?
Most likely my woman.
Okay. Well, tell your woman hello for us.
Yes, and happy birthday to you. Love the show, and thank you.
Yes.
Byron, appreciate it. You have a good afternoon, man. Thanks for listening.
You too.
All right. Ronnie and Kevin, thank you. Appreciate it very much. Thank you. And Rodney, thanks for bringing it up at the top of the show.
Happy birthday, Fred.
Yeah, when
enjoy.
I go home, I'm going to have a conversation with my daughter who alerted you. We'll see you tomorrow. Ask for more. Will you still need